Good morning, planet Earth. It's your good friend Dan. Here amongst the woods and the coyotes and the rambling deer, the shambling and the grambling, amongst the grizzly bear and the cougar and the skyhawk shaman here on the Olympic Peninsula, it's Tuesday, the February of the week. It's Tuesday, October the 22nd. 2024 Boblimp Doc. It's 4:18 a.m. Pacific Standard Time as I stare bleakly into the abyss. I hear my own spirit calling as I walk steeply down the hill of life. I twist an ankle. I break a toe. I find my way back home again. I find my way back home to the great spirit in the sky. Yeah. Here are your Zero Hedge headlines as of 4:19 a.m. Pacific Standard Time headline. Elon Musk says he's upgrading security after being named enemy number two by the media. Is McPoyle going to try to take him out? Headline, new Israeli air raids unleash giant fireballs. Chaos in Beirut. This is getting dumber and dumber. Headline, Trump's favorite word has European CEO sweating. Oh, is that word tariff? Headline, 17 indicators of global recession. We have been in a global depression, papered over by debt, since at least 2008. I don't know, but I'll read this headline so you can feel better. 17 indicators of global recession are clanging. Huh? What's a recession from a global depression, dummy? Total economic collapse. Headline, election fraud allegations lead to felony charges against California City Council candidate. Oh, how shocking. Headline, precious metals, monster momentum. Headline, cry small cap wolf. Oh, small cap, go, Russell. Headline, Iraq stuck between Israel and Iran as tensions rise. Oh, boy, I wonder which side they will choose. Headline, inside the trend of Americans retiring abroad. Oh, I'll retire with abroad. Headline, Fethullah Gulen, alleged mastermind of the 2016 coup in Turkey, dies at 83. Headline, from blindness to 360-degree vision. What 4,000 near-death cases bring to light. Headline, NATO's response to Russian attack on the Baltics could take days and devastate Lithuania, war simulation shows. Oh, I could tell you about, what was it called? Key focus lens, go fuck yourself, bullshit simulation. We could talk about Timothy Geithner and his stress test. Headline, the left falsely portrays disinformation as the right's monopoly. Oh boy, ask me why I'm permanently banned from YouTube, Mr. Man. Headline, Hurricane Helene's political disaster. Yes, it's many things. I think it indicates the direction we're headed in. And the signpost up ahead says Haiti. Headline, FBI believes U.S. intel leak on Israel was likely a government insider. Like the missile gap leak back in the day, if you know, you know. Yeah, a lot of those leaks are fully authorized and controlled by the people at Langley, also known as CIA. Headline. Ahead of this week's earnings, this is where hedge fund positioning is most extreme. Headline, U.S. task force finds first Trump assassination attempt was preventable. Oh boy, what was I talking about the other day? How they give you so many options, but if you choose one outside the scope, it's not that they call you crazy, you don't get hurt, huh? I think there's another option, dumb fucks. Headline, Girl Scout dues could rise as much as 240% next year. But what's really funny is I almost read this headline as Girl Scout deaths could rise as much as 240% next year. And it's the same picture meme, isn't it? I'm kidding. It's terrible. Those are your Zero Hedge page one headlines as of 4:19 a.m. on this date, October the 22nd, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc, and it's a Tuesday. Next topic. So, I went back on social media after Elon Musk took over. Not because I thought he was going to make it better for people, and he really didn't. But because I suffer from morbid curiosity. I do. And I simply wanted to see what was going on and to see what kind of bullshit snake pit he was engineering. And, you know, if you're on social media, I don't care if it's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. If you're on social media, you're going to see a video. You're going to see a bunch of folks, a bunch of kids usually, of a certain skin tone, breaking into some store and doing some type of a crowd theft thingy, you know, whatever. Crowd mob, mob theft. I don't know what it's called because I just don't care. You're going to see pictures of a drag queen talking to students at some type of a library. You're going to see pictures of one person beating up another person. And there's some sort of narrative that makes the beating sound justified. And you're going to feel good inside, or you'll feel fear. You're going to see a picture of a dude walking down a street just randomly punching somebody out. You will see pictures of places you've never been being bombed out by 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. When you go on your social media, you're going to see pictures of, yeah, nurses dancing around the bodies of dying grandma and grandpa. That makes sense. You'll see so many videos and so many pictures. And it's entirely plausible that you're going to just believe what you see and take it home. I don't know. I don't know how smart you are. But whether it's drag queen story time, or the BLM Antifa bullshit, or the monkey herpes COVID, or the Chop Chaz, or that building, I remember, August 2020, The Guardian. You know where Glenn Greenwald came from? His old gray lady? The Guardian reported that a building that was in plain sight, like I can actually see it, I could drink a six-pack of beer and stare at this building all fucking live day long, that building had caught fire and burnt down. And I sent an email saying, you know, listen, there a fucking Katrina trailer. They set fire to one of those in a dumpster. But the building's still there, you stupid fuck. They never responded. I went to a hospital in 2022. I still don't know what was wrong with me. I have a theory. I have a theory, but I just don't want to talk about it because it deals with my bugbear, my fear. And the last thing most of you fuckers need right now is another thing to be fucking afraid of. But here's what did not happen at the ER. Nobody gave a fuck about no fucking COVID test. I had surgery in 2023, early 2023. People were still talking about how they couldn't get surgery. Nobody checked me, asked me about a vaccine schedule. Nobody tested me for COVID. Nobody gave a fuck. I was an old hobo. I mean, I had to wait 2 weeks for basically trauma surgery. Yeah, that's a hobo. Yeah, that's called a hobo. And I've been around a public school. I don't want to say too much, but I've been around a public school for more than a year now. And not once have I seen a drag queen story time. Or have I seen a crowd running in fear from a drag queen story time. Or anything related to that fucking trauma monkey. Okay? I was in Seattle. I took video of Seattle bike cops pretending to be BLM Antifa and shepherding these stupid dumbass PSYOP protests up and down 12th Avenue in the summer of 2020. I have video, so I know it's not a fucking hallucination. And yeah, they got pissed off at me when I was taking the video because I wasn't looking at the crowd. Just like I don't look at the face of the magician. I look at the fucking hands. And when I was looking at the hands in that figurative sense, I saw the Glock sticking out of the butt cracks of those neatly dressed, black-clad Seattle cops, and it was obvious to me what the fuck was going on. And keep in mind, this is during the peak of the worst pandemic in human history, cutting off traffic from one part of Seattle to every major emergency room in Seattle. That makes sense, right? It does, doesn't it? Mr. and Mrs. Gombo Freak? Went to Chop Chaz. You gotta go there early enough. That's when the fairies don't put the fairy dust down yet. I went to Chop Chaz in June of 2020 with a camera while the robots were sleeping. And I saw fucking officers from Seattle Police. I saw the Seattle Department of Transportation, SDOT. I saw all kinds of government folks building barricades and helping out to set up the commie bullshit. And I even have on video a Seattle employee saying, yeah, we're here to help. Now you tell me what a government-funded snake pit PSYOP looks like, because I know, Chop Chaz, but you watched it on your phone and you thought it was George Soros. You're a fucking retard. You are. It wasn't. It was your feds, it was your government, pulling a recipe from the 1960s called Operation Chaos. The fact that you don't know is not my fucking problem. But I've come to the realization that maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a Schrodinger effect. For example, you go and you watch an Antifa BLM protest on 12th Avenue in Seattle in July of 2020, Boblimp Doc. And you don't see the Seattle bike cops with a Glock shoved up the butt cracks. You just see the glorious communists and you think supported by Soros to take away your freedom so you can't go to Cabela's and buy guns and sit on them. That's it. You know, you don't see it. But then I show up and all of a sudden, you know, the fairies come by and the magical little fairies and the magical little sprites, they come by and they sprinkle sprite dust and fairy dust. And I see the cops with the Glocks sticking out of their butt cracks. I show up. They don't give me no fucking vaccine. They don't give a fuck about the monkey herpes. I show up at the school. The drag queens are gone. They go back to the tunnels where they came from. Back down into the caves. Deep below the slave mansion. When I'm sitting in that pod in August 2020, I look across the street and a building that was destroyed suddenly appears. I must be magical. It is weird because I keep waiting to see the bullshit they show me on the fucking phone. I don't have one of those phones, but I have the internet. And so I can only imagine if you're being exposed to this, even on the bus, even as you walk down the street, you're getting fed this bullshit 24/7, probably. I can only imagine the world you see, but the world I see when I show up doesn't remotely reflect what you're being fed on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube, on Facebook, Twitter, you name it. And you can read me, oh, but currently the Facebook team is in a rascal fight about, no, none of them are fighting about shit. There are no white hats. That's just more noise to keep you confused, buddy. Nobody's fixing shit. Trump is not going to fix shit. You can guarantee that whatever Democrat is president next year or Republican, as if I fucking care, nothing is getting repaired. Nothing. More wounds will be opened and we will go deeper into catastrophic debt, no matter who gets elected. But nothing's getting repaired at this point. I don't know if anyone's told you that. This is the point in the game when you're in the lifeboat and all of a sudden people start asking, who do you want to toss out? So you got to start demonizing. You do. You have to start demonizing. And the easiest group to demonize are the homeless. So yeah, it's not a very swift or brilliant prediction. I'll make a solid prediction. There are going to be some really bad laws, assuming the system keeps rolling along. I think it's in collapse. But let's play pretend. And we're still spending $1 trillion every few months next year. They're going to pass laws to round up the homeless people. and they'll put them someplace, and most of you just won't give a fuck because your phone is going to show you pictures of someplace really nice. And like the building that never burnt down, like the vaccine clot shot Uncle Dan the hobo never got, like the magical protest where the cops got Glocks shoved up their butt cracks, you won't know. You won't give a fuck what happens to those people. One of your neighbors could end up falling off the social radar. You might even see them being loaded onto some type. Because, by the way, I don't believe in Alex Jones's FEMA camps, but I do believe Alex Jones will take one of his neighbors to the special bus, the bus for the homeless who are ruining our home prices. Yeah. I got your fucking number, Mr. and Mrs. America. But I'm magical. You know, if you don't want to believe that they've been implementing strategic military psychological warfare since early 2020 at least, and on a huge scale, and for the first time in military history, the PSYOP is the king of battle. If you don't want to believe that, then you must believe I'm some type of magical motherfucker. Because I've been through all your fucking fear gauntlets, and they're all bullshit. Next topic.
But Dan, I can't believe you said,
you know, okay, so, yeah. So Zero Hedge published an article that I mentioned the headline of, and I don't really want to read for you, because I've read essays, articles, and I think I even read a book once on the topic of the near-death experience. And let's get a few things out of the way. Nobody really knows, and this is, I'm talking to the atheists right now, because we can just speak to this issue from an atheistic perspective for the moment, if we want to. I'm going to. Nobody really knows what death is. Like, it used to be, if your heart stopped beating, you're dead. And for most of human history, that was the deal, which means if you had a heart attack, you were dead. Even if somebody could have given you CPR, they're not going to. They'll finish their grog, they'll take a piss on you, and they'll dump you in your grave. In the modern age, we've learned a few things, and we've learned that you can resuscitate people whose heart has stopped, and you can even save a drowning person. Back in the day, if you were drowned, if they pulled you out of the water and you weren't breathing, buddy, unless you wanted to be accused of being a witch, you were dead. Now, somebody could have saved you by wrapping their lips around your lips and giving you a few body pumps and body blows. But and that's not the proper way to do CPR post-drowning, by the way. But the point is, somebody could have saved you, but then they would have been accused of being a witch. Back in the day, if you had a heart attack, you were dead. Back in the day, if you drowned, you were dead. And then, all of a sudden, it got even more interesting. Back in the day, if you had severe heart damage, you wouldn't instantly die, but you were going to die, period. There was no option. You have severe heart damage, no option. Now, today, we have a few options, including temporary heart bypass. It's not really an artificial heart, but it can keep you alive. They can even put you into a deep freeze. And I think that they've currently gotten up to a day to 2 days. Like, for a couple of days, they can essentially put you in suspended animation and give your heart a break. There are lots of things. They can transplant a heart. And the scientists of the future tell us that in a few years, they'll have a true artificial heart. Now, keep in mind, back in the 80s when I was a kid, there was that first guy who had the artificial heart, and that didn't turn out so great. I mean, I guess it was better than being dead, but there were issues. They've been talking about artificial hearts, like going to Mars, for a while. Now, could it happen? Sure. But keep in mind, that just goes to show you how incredibly intricate and complex and strong the human heart is. Again, I've got my atheist helmet on. I'm not going to use the word miracle. We are reaching a point where there are people who will say that within a few years, it will be possible, it will be theoretically possible to take your consciousness and upload it into a machine. And I have been around that philosophical ballpark for a few decades now. I used to be really interested in philosophy of the mind, artificial intelligence, brain science. I'm not as interested these days because I've come to realize that I don't trust the sources. You know, I just don't. You know, if you come back to me and say, well, here's a paper, or here's a book, or here's what Professor X says at the University of Bomb-de-Bomb, I don't care. I don't care. And it's not a question of being a know-nothing or a Luddite. I don't give a fuck. I'm fairly certain that we're being lied to on many levels. And because of that, I even look back upon my university years and I wonder, to what extent did I spend time and resources learning falsehoods? And if it was to any extent greater than, like, let's say 20%, then it does seem like a giant sham. But in fact, it's probably way worse than 20%. It's probably closer to like 80% of what they taught me was bullshit. So I think it's fair to say, if you're an atheist, you can come to the conclusion, nobody knows what death is, not really. We don't really know. We have theories. You could argue that when from one moment to the next, our bodies are so unstable at a quantum level that we die and are reborn. I mean, nobody really knows. If you take the purely naturalistic perspective, we don't know what death is. In fact, even as an atheist, you could still believe there could be life after death. But as an atheist, you have to theorize, how would that be possible? How would it work? How would it function? You know, what are the laws governing it? If we were to study it, how would we study it? How do you study something that is separate from this universe? For all intents and purposes, it really is. How do you study that which cannot be studied? Well, the answer is you can't, right? But if you're going to have opinions, if you're going to have notions about life after death, and you're an atheist, and you're empirical, and you're scientific, you want to do some type of study. You want to do some type of investigation. You want to come up with a hypothesis and test it. But I'm simply telling you something that shouldn't be controversial. Nobody really knows what death is. Now, I'm also a Christian, which means I'm not an atheist, I'm a Christian. I went through that little exercise, as I do so often, because I spent most of my life as an atheist. And here's the truth from a Christian perspective. We don't really know what death is. Not really. I mean, we can have theories about it, and certainly there are lots of people who will tell you stories about heaven and hell. The problem is, a lot of those stories about heaven and hell are manufactured. And they're manufactured by, gosh, if it happened in the 4th century, about 1,700 years of falsehoods and myth-making by an institution that became the state religion of Rome. And that's as much as I want to say. So our notions of heaven and hell are very much Roman pagan notions. They're not really Christian. You know, there is evidence in the Bible that there is punishment, but there's no real good example in the Bible specifically of what that looks like. And yes, there are apocrypha, and there are other books. There's certainly the Book of Enoch. But the bottom line is, when it comes to hell specifically, it's hard to say what it is. If you ask, you know, I have friends who are Mormons, you know, who live in Utah. And a few of them, you know, I miss them and I hope they're okay. And if you ask a Mormon what hell is, they might say, well, it's being the greatest distance possible from Jesus. Like, imagine being so far out in the edge of darkness that the light from Jesus will never reach you. It sounds a little bit Star Trek, but in a lot of ways, that's a fair description of one aspect of what hell would be for a Mormon. And that's not that different when you think about it from what should be authentic Christianity, to be completely separate from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus Christ, from the Lord in heaven. That would be hell. If you buy into the mythology, which is the repackaging of Roman paganism as Christian constructs, and if you buy into that mythology as regurgitated by thousands of years of monks having hallucinations, Hell looks like a fiery place with a horned dude who goes around sticking a pitchfork up people's buttholes. And if that's what you think hell looks like, or no, Dan, it looks like the Hellraiser movies. Maybe. Maybe it does look like that frickin' cube. The dude that, what, Pinhead? Maybe the devil looks like Pinhead. I have no idea. I have no idea. Not at all. But maybe. But that's the version of hell I was taught growing up. Fire and brimstone and sulfur. All of these things come from pagan Rome. They don't come from Jesus. I'm fairly certain of that. If you want to send me a particular story that Jesus tells where he describes a dude with a pitchfork and all that, okay. But really, that's Roman. That's the quote-unquote Bishop of Rome who took upon himself and that institution greater power than anyone ever granted. Earthly power, of which Jesus Christ has zero interest. If you understand the time that Jesus spent in the desert and the conversation he had with Satan, you should know absolutely that what that particular bishop represented and what the Roman Empire represented had zero to do with anything Christ was interested in. So hell, who knows what hell looks like? Heaven, again, a lot of that is a lot of that comes from and is informed by that same kind of pagan mythological tradition that has, like I said, zero to do with Christ. Okay, I'm not sure what heaven is. There are some Christians who interpret the Bible in the following way, because it is very much in line with a one interpretation of the Hebrew perspective on death. And that is, when you die, you die. You sleep. You go to sleep, period. There might be a time in the future when you rise up again, and that's related to the kingdom. But when you die before the kingdom, you're just dead. Even if you're a good person, you're just dead, and then one day you will be judged. And then there are Christians who will say, no, that's not how it works. When you die, if you're a good Christian, you go to heaven. We don't know what it looks like because, you know, we don't believe that Roman stuff, but it's heaven and it's wonderful and you're going to love it. But if you're not a Christian, if you're not a good person in that sense, in terms of having faith, then some Christians say you simply cease to exist. You don't even go. It's very similar, but not the same, to the way that Mormons describe it. You simply, for all intents and purposes, you don't exist. You are no longer part of the flock. You are no longer connected to God. If you exist in terms of your own consciousness, who knows? It could be a limbo state where all you have is you, yourself, and I, me, myself, whatever. Some people believe that. And there are lots of folks who are not Christian who believe in things like reincarnation, for example, that you could come back again in another form. There are people who believe that your spirit joins a collective consciousness of the universe. There are people that there are so many beliefs about life after death. But the only thing I am certain of is I don't really know. It's kind of like outer space, you know? When people talk to me about outer space, I immediately pretend I'm watching one of those fucking Hobbit movies, you know? And they're not always Hobbit movies. Sometimes it's a different author, a different genre slightly. It could be the fucking Game of Thrones. I don't give a fuck. Lots of boobs in that. If a person starts talking about space, I drift off to that place. Why? Because I have about as much faith in the space narrative as I do in dragons and orcs. Sorry. Yeah, I see the pictures. I see the movies. But like I said, I've got that Schrodinger's touch, you know? And if I were to go down there to SpaceX and I touched one of those rockets, oh boy, I might start pulling on the outside skin and find foil on top of cardboard shit. So you don't want me to visit SpaceX in Texas or whatever. You don't want me to visit some magical gigafactory. You definitely don't want me to visit that fusion reactor that Lockheed said would fit in the back of your truck in the year 2014. That's when they said it. Oh, wow. Did you pick up your fusion reactor this year? I don't think so. Yeah. Are you learning yet? I'm magical. I am magical, you know? It's hard for me to listen to certain things because it just sounds like you're talking about space. I don't know. I really don't know. Like outer space, like orcs and dragons, like ghosts and goblins, like, you know, frankly, UFOs. I have not had an experience that I would call a UFO experience. That doesn't mean they don't exist. They're just not really fucking relevant to my existence. You know, they exist and they're not relevantly existent. I think that's how I would phrase it. Is it important if you're a Christian to live the kingdom life? Yes. Do I believe in God even today, even after a lot of stuff? Yeah, yes, I do. I believe in God. I believe there is something after death. I have no idea what it looks like. No idea. I believe God is kind, so I expect it to be kindness. I believe God is love, so I expect there to be love. I believe God is wisdom, so I expect to learn a few things I don't already know, or maybe to learn that I knew them already. I expect a lot of things to happen, but I don't know for certain. When you see an article like this on Zero Hedge, you might be inclined to think, well, this is an example, Dan, of why they're a decent place to go because no one else, and you're right in a way. In a way, you're right. A lot of the other journals or whatever would publish the secular article about how God is in the brain and stuff like that, but they probably wouldn't touch an issue like this because they're afraid of pissing off, you know, their particular segment of the human population, right? They're afraid of pissing off their focus group. Now, why did I just ramble about heaven and hell and near-death experiences and how we don't really know? And the answer is simply this. And I want to put this in a box so that I can move on. I don't believe Zero Hedge posted this article because they are being supportive of a non-secular perspective. I think they posted this article because Zero Hedge, yeah, is the last stop on the edge of the desert in a lot of ways, but Zero Hedge also has to participate in the Fangoria, the massive, you know, banquet or buffet of fear. And they have to do it, and they do it. And it's obvious in all the stuff that's on their site to include the paid advertisements. But every once in a while, they throw you a bone. And by the way, this is also kind of how gaslighting works, because it's not as simple as it's just psychological abuse. In order for the abuse to be effective, the person being abused has to believe that the person abusing them cares. And so periodically, the abuser will throw you a bone. Oh, I'm sorry. Want to go to dinner tonight? Oh, I'm sorry. Would you like me to make you some cookies? Oh, I'm sorry. Periodically, people that abuse other people have to be nice if they want to keep the abuse going. Because if all you do is abuse, eventually, even the most sullen and slave-like is going to fight back, bite back, and nobody wants that, right? So they give you a story like this. It's not because they believe it. It's not because they really care. And I think in the best light, it's a confusing story. Because really, how you die is not really important. And at this point in your life, especially if you're living right now and you have a family, what happens after you die is not your focus. What should be your focus is how you're living right now. Next topic. Before I leave this one, I just want to point out that one of the interesting things about Zero Hedge is that they have these paid advertisements that are just way off the hook. Like this one, here we go, France raises bird flu risk level on the heels of a suspiciously timed international bird flu summit in D.C. and following reports of new cases of bird flu in humans here in the U.S. And again, these are statements you're expected to just believe, right? We get word. This is pure fear. This is people making money off of fear. Before we leave this topic, let me be clear. If you make money, your living, off of scaring people, you're probably a shithead. If you make your living off of scaring people and you know the fear is bullshit, you're a giant fucking douchey shithead. Next topic. Does that mean I'm opposed to prepping? No. Not mutually exclusive. So here's another article, but I'm not going to read this one. Well, you know what? I might read this one. We'll see. This one comes from the Times of Israel. I'm going to read it. Fuck it. Fuck it. Times of Israel. And I'm going to read it, baby. Headline: Al-Qaeda advisor calls for Hamas to free hostages, says attention overshadowing fate of Palestinian prisoners. The author is by agencies and TOI staff, and it was published on 19 October. And I read on. An advisor to Al-Qaeda's likely current leader is calling for Hamas to release its Israeli hostages held in Gaza, according to an American jihadist monitoring organization, SITE, or SITE. The online declaration was made yesterday by Mustafa Hamid, also known as Abu Walid Az-Mazri, who is the father-in-law of Saif Adel, the man widely believed to now head Al-Qaeda, according to SITE. In it, Hamid claims the attention given to recovering the Israeli hostages held by Hamas since October 7, 2023, both dead and alive, is overshadowing the fate of Palestinian security prisoners being held by Israel. Okay. He also hails Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar, the mastermind of the massacre that triggered the ongoing war in Gaza, who was killed by Israel this week. That's convenient. Hamas must now immediately return the hostages and their bodies, and this file must be closed and not opened again, as we know its consequences, according to the statement. Wow, Al-Qaeda, the voice of reason. No one cares about the Palestinian prisoners, neither in the media, in negotiations, nor in demonstrations, it adds. Several experts consulted by AFP say Hamid is close to higher-ups in the core Al-Qaeda organization at Langley, the group which has spawned regional affiliates in Syria to help out Langley, Yemen, Somalia, and Mali to help out CIA at Langley, has little leverage over Hamas, which is backed by Iran. There you go. There's your stupid article I didn't want to read. It's 2024. And so I know there are people who are in their 20s who have no fucking real clue about 9/11 except for the mythology. They might have foggy memories of being a toddler. They might have remembered their parents getting really freaked out about dusty powder in the mail. But they don't really have the same memory that you might have had, let's say, if you were, instead of being 1 years old, 31 years old, or 21, or whatever. And so there are young people today who vote, who will support Trump, who will support Kamala Harris, who have no understanding of Al-Qaeda at all, or its mythological connection to 9/11. Keep in mind, Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda and 9/11 were they were our feast. They are what we were fed for what? For the last 20-some years. That's the story, right? Bin Laden and Al-Qaeda attacking the World Trade Centers. So it is weird, and it's not new. It happened about 10 years ago. It started happening right around the time of ISIS. It's weird that Al-Qaeda is somehow an organization that we even listen to, let alone take advice from, let alone relay advice through multiple news outlets that, like I said, YouTube has permabanned your friend Dan. You know, separate but relevant. It's weird. I don't know what to tell you. It's kind of like putting together an expert panel on abortion in the year 1975, you know, after Roe v. Wade, and inviting Ted Bundy to be on your panel. I mean, it's not, you know, he might give you a perspective. So we're listening to Al-Qaeda. And once again, folks, I think we're missing the point here. If you've dropped almost 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile in less than a year on 141 square miles, how can I put this? I don't know how there are hostages left alive, A. I don't know how you would recover the body parts given that there are dead Palestinians they still can't find, B. And C, How do you not understand that this is deeply retarded? I hate using the R word, and I'm not beating up on mentally disabled people. I mean, this is something so dumb that a person should be able to fucking figure it out. I don't know what's going on in Gaza. Right now, it almost looks like they're waging war, I mean, given the tonnage, with Godzilla. And maybe Godzilla has been attacking Israel for the last year, and that's why, you know, we're up around 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile. But other than that, it's just so dumb, colossally dumb, that it goes beyond simply being evil. You have to ask the question, why would people we're supposed to think are so smart, our necessary security ally that gets, you know, taken off guard by paragliders, we're supposed to just gloss over this fact that it's that dumb. That's dumber than anything that Bomber Harris or General LeMay or any of the crazy, crazy fucks of the Vietnam War could have come up with. That frickin' stupid fucking dumb. It's evil, and it's even dumber than it's evil. And yet I don't see a lot of people asking those questions. It's a military science question. And because they're not really asking that question, you have to wonder, what the hell is going on? You don't need that much ordnance to do what they've done, unless they're quite literally dropping all the bombs in the same spot and trying to build a giant hole in the ground. But then Hamas would simply move from that spot, and they'd be fine, right? I'm more likely to believe that it's a fairly distributed attack, which means that roughly 10,000 tons per square mile have been dropped, literally, figuratively, in every sense, on Gaza since October of last year. This is batshit crazy. And as far as Al-Qaeda's opinion goes, they are a manufactured thing. They come from the Central Intelligence Agency. 9/11, whatever the hell did happen, is not what we were told happened. I'll just keep it that way. And if you want to, well, Dan, I think it was a limited hangout I heard about on YouTube. That's fine. You do it, man. You stick with that. You grab that meat torpedo and you do what you need to with it, okay? Next topic. Oh my gosh, it's time to wake up. Isn't that the fucking truth? Time to wake up. That was my alarm. Normally I get up at this time, 5 a.m. But the last few weeks, as you well know, if you listen to this cruddy ruddy podcast, I've been in a weird place. My mind has been everywhere. It's been hard for me to sleep at normal times. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe it's the pole shift. You never know. Next topic. Probably the last topic for all time. So, actually, that's pretty much it. I was going to talk about a couple other things, but I'm not going to. I don't know. I wanted to say more about the Al-Qaeda thing, but it's just I didn't know how to say, how can you be so crazy? Like, every once in a while, I want to go up to people who start talking about ISIS and Al-Qaeda like they're real things. And again, you know, It's like the orcs in outer space. I have to just go there and sit for a second and play pretend, or I get angry. Because unlike the orcs in outer space, this Al-Qaeda bullshit does impact me in terms of my civil rights. It does. And it's not just my rights, which I have from birth. It's the rights of people around me, or rather also the way they fucking respond to it, which means they go fucking crazy. So this Al-Qaeda shit is not victimless. None of this PSYOP shit is victimless. If you live in the middle of nowhere, God bless, I don't. If you live connected to any place that's connected to the internet, you have to listen to this sideways nonsense periodically. So when I say this personally impacts me, I'm actually saying the fucking truth. The Al-Qaeda, ISIS, COVID, drag queen story time, Putin, And the list goes on, impacts us, all of us, because all this fear is damaging our relationships to each other. That's what it's doing. And you can say, well, I turn off the fear, but can you control other people? Probably not. So yeah, this is a completely funded public thing. Your tax, well, really not your tax dollars. The printed money is paying for it. and it's destructive. And I don't know how to have that conversation with people at this point. You know, Al-Qaeda, they need to believe that A, Al-Qaeda, you know, was part of a major attack on the U.S. on 9/11, and B, Al-Qaeda, since ISIS started attacking in Syria, somehow sideways became our friends. They have to believe that's sideways possible, because then they start asking questions about, I don't know, what happened to Gaddafi, and how many pipes did he have shoved up his butt before he died? And the state of Libya today. The state of Libya today. Like, is Libya better off? Is Iraq better off? Are any of these fucking countries, to include Afghanistan, better off because we spent time there, we expended ammo there, we spooled all kinds of depleted uranium there, and then we fucking left? Are they better off? But Dan, if we'd stayed. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of America I think about when I think about the America I swore an oath to. The kind that uses the language of what? A member of an empire if we stayed? What part of the United States is Syria, motherfucker? We currently guard things in Syria. You know what we guard? We don't guard hospitals. We don't guard public schools. We guard oil derricks. We guard oil supplies. That's what we guard in Syria. Shut the fuck up. About Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all your sideways bullshit. That helps you go to sleep at night. I'm okay losing sleep with the truth. If you like this podcast, I have no idea why that's okay, but listen to this disclaimer. I am not a 501c3, nor shall I ever be, which means that if you donate to me, it's kind of like money you're paying me. It's not a tax deduction. Remember that. Take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you cannot feed yourself, clothe yourself, if you don't have shelter, if you don't have the means to get through a day, then you need to take care of those problems first before you ever donate to my podcast. Which, guess what? It's okay to listen. You don't have to give me any money at all. So take care of your food, water, shelter first. If you're setting aside a little extra food just in case because you're an optimist, 6 months worth, optimist. I don't even know what to tell you, 2 weeks worth. That's just the government insulting you. But 6 months is optimism. If you're an optimist and you have 6 months of food set aside that you're rotating through to keep it fresh, because that's what you should do, then make sure you're setting aside food for your pet, your cat, your dog, your bog rat, your claddock, your parrot, whatever kind of pet you have, probably a dog if you're a good person. If you're setting aside 6 months of food for your family, yourself, whatever, make sure you're setting aside 6 months for your pet. If there are people in your life right now, and I don't mean fakers, I don't mean internet people, I also don't mean me. If there are physical people in your life that you know, physically, that need help, help them first before you donate to some random podcast on the internet. And last but not least, as I tell you, and I mean it, as crazy as things are, and they kind of are, and as crazy as they're likely to get, and I'm sorry, it gets a lot crazier before it gets better. And best case scenario, it gets better decades from now. And that's if we're lucky. Sorry. But even with that, that's just called history. That's just called life. In bad times, there are good times. In good times, there are bad times. It's going to be crazy for a while. Crazier than most people realize because they've been fed nothing but bullshit the last couple years. But it's not the end of the world. It's not. And it's also not worth thinking about. It's like thinking about the life, you know, your life after death. Yes, it's a worthy thought, but it's better to think about what you're going to do before you die. Maybe even what you're doing today. Is it okay to think about the future? I do it all the time. You listen to my podcast. I'm all kinds of crazy. But at some point, you have to step back from it, don't you? It's not the end of the world. So if you have a little extra money, because things aren't totally crazy yet, and they probably will get a lot crazier, if you have a little extra money, and you can do something right now, and you've taken care of your food, water, shelter, you've done the kind of prepping that makes sense, then try to look out for yourself. Take care of yourself. You know, give yourself a break. Maybe take somebody you care about to a restaurant. Maybe cook a nice dinner for somebody you care about. Maybe, I don't know what you'd do. But cut yourself some slack. And if you've done all those things, taking care of the things you need and want and whatever, and you're super rich, living on a yacht someplace in the South Atlantic, or maybe someplace in the Mediterranean, or maybe you're in the China Sea, if you're out there on your yacht with your 15 busty and bodacious underwear model women slaves, and you have everything you need, you can send some of that my way. You can, as much as you want to, because I literally don't fucking care. It is Tuesday, October the 22nd, 2024. It's 5:08 a.m. Can you believe it? It's 5:08 a.m. Can you believe it? It's 5:08 a.m. Have a great, wonderful Tuesday.